We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning in those little Bibles there in front of you. I believe that's on page 991, so it'll make it easier for you to find. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 15, okay? So I'll give you kind of a minute here to find that. One of the things that also happened this last week for all of downtown and close vicinity was the opening of the Walmart Supercenter. That's right. We are excited about that, right? Now, I'm originally from Arkansas, as I've told you all before, and, you know, the home of Walmart and everything else. And when I first came to Cleveland, I was living over in North Olmsted area, and I went to that Walmart with Sherry. And I walked in, and I'm walking through there, and I said, Sherry, this isn't a Walmart. And she goes, yeah, it is. And I was like, no, this isn't a Walmart. And she goes, yeah, it's a Walmart. I said, okay, the outside says Walmart, and they got all the icon and logos and everything else, but I said, this isn't a Walmart. This is like a baby Walmart or something. I said, now, I know they were going to do these Walmart Junior things. I said, is this a Walmart Junior? She goes, no, it's a real Walmart. I was like, Sherry, this is not a real Walmart. Well, about a month or two later, she came back with me down to Arkansas, and I said, now, honey, we're about to walk into a real Walmart, okay? I want you to see whatever. Okay, it was one of the super centers. Man, she walked in. She's like, wow. I was like, I don't know what you've got up there, but we had those like 25 years ago, okay? These are like old school, old fashioned. I said, I hate that Walmart. I never would go back to that Walmart unless I just had to, because you couldn't get two carts down the same aisle. And I said, when I go to Walmart, I need space. I need room. I don't want to be up next to somebody while they're shopping. I don't know these people. I said, I want to be away. So when this one opened down here, she said, okay, well, let's go. So we went down there, and man, when I walked in, I was just like, I mean, I could hear the angels just singing. Oh, you know, I was like, do you see this, honey? Do you feel the space? You can roam in here. No one has to be close to you. You can get three carts up and down the aisle. And I loved it, man. And when I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know, as we're talking about this thing with identity theft, my identity with Walmart was supercenter level, okay? Sherry's identity with Walmart was that thing over there in North Olmsted, okay? Whatever that is, all right? All these little tight aisles like this, everything's just jam-packed in there. And if you've been in one of those stores, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I thought, you know, this is what identity in Christ is all about. A lot of times we just kind of say, oh, this is all that I am. This is all that I will ever be. And as I was trying to convince Sherry, no, there's so much more to Walmart than this. There's so much more. And she's like, no, this is Walmart. No. And you know, when we follow after Christ, I think sometimes we just limit ourselves and we just go, you know, this is all it'll ever be. This is as good as it's going to get. And I'm not going to do much better than this. And this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, is not just settling for the good old, this is just the way that I am. This is just the way that I am. This is the way that it will always be. All right? So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15. We're actually going to go through the first couple of verses of chapter 6. In verse 15, it starts out, and he's talking about Christ at this point, and so he's speaking of Christ when he says, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to reject this marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. I don't know how many of you have ever, through college or maybe in your job, you've taken one of these personality tests. Anybody ever taken like a Myers-Briggs? Okay, a lot of people have taken these, all right? I would think that in a lot of corporations and a lot of businesses now, that's kind of like one of the first things that you do, okay? That's what I hear back from a lot of people, that there's always these things. A lot of churches are using them. And they do some really good things because number one is you find out some things about yourself that maybe you didn't know. You know, and I've seen people take those tests before, and then they'll look at it and they'll go, that's not me, that's not me. And other people around are like, that is you. You do that. And so we learn some things about ourselves. But then it's also made so that we can learn some things about you, to learn some things about others, those people that we're going to be working with. And so we learn those things, not just about ourselves, but then we learn, this is how this person is. This is how they work. This is how they react. This is how they think. This is how they process. When I approach them, this is probably the best way to handle it because of their personality. If I have some tension with them, this is the best way to address it. If we have some work-related issues, this is how this person is going to possibly react and respond. And so those things are out there, and they're good. They really do a good job of helping us and helping us know other people. But, you know, one of the downsides that I've seen to it is that people use it as a crutch, and they use it to hide behind. And you've seen it, and maybe you've even done it. Well, you know me. I'm just a confrontational person. I just tell people what I think. You know what they're saying? I'm not changing. You saw what I got on the test. This is who I am. Or you meet those people who are the creative people, okay? You know the creative people who don't understand that we do have a clock and, you know, that there is structure in our life, right? And they'll look at you and they'll say, I'm a creative person. You can't give me structure. You know that'll just make me implode. I can't have structure. And you know what happens is we then take what was designed to show us really where maybe we had some weaknesses or maybe we had some differences and maybe some things we needed to work on, and we use it totally hide behind. And we just say, well, that's just the way I am. I'll never change. In Christianity, we kind of do the same thing. We will call confrontational people in Christianese what we call prophets. Okay, you ever heard that? Well, you know them, they're just a prophet. That just usually means they're ugly to people, okay? That's what I've usually found. Well, they're just probably, they'll just tell you what they think. That's not necessarily from God, but we'll call them that. We'll sometimes call people who are enablers, all right, who continue to help people kind of repeat in the same patterns that are not so good. We'll sometimes call them mercy people, you know. Well, they have the gift of mercy. And what it is that we enable the mercy person to keep enabling other people to have bad results in their life. You know, we look at people who have no life and no career opportunities, and we call them pastors, right? I mean, because they have no, you can laugh there. You know, what? What did he say? What did he say? And you know, when we look at our lives, a lot of times that's what we do. Well, you know me, that's just the way that I am. And what the text says here and what God is saying to us is this. When you follow after Christ, you become a new creation. When something becomes new, what does that usually mean? It's the word that we hate, change. And you've heard it said before, that person's just set in their ways. They're just set in their ways. It doesn't matter if anything is better, they're just set in their ways. Your dad's probably maybe like that, you know. What he used to do, he still continues to do to this day, and it drives you crazy, doesn't it? You know, he's still using the Commodore 64, and you're like, oh, please upgrade where you can actually get email, you know. You find out that your dad or mom is still on dial-up, and you're like, oh, dial-up, oh. you go there for Thanksgiving and you go to check your email and you're just like, forget it, you know, this is going to take all night to download and everything else. And they're just like, well, it works, doesn't it? You know, you've heard that before, all right? Refusing to change. And while I'm kind of picking on the technology side of things, the thing is, for most of us, that's where we get caught. More than likely, not everybody, more than likely, the music that you listen to in high school and college is going to be the music that you probably listen to for the rest of your life. Isn't it true? We don't like change. We're like, why are all these people listening to hip-hop and stuff? What they need is some good 80s, you know, metal music, you know. And people are looking at you like, do you realize those people are now 50 playing this heavy metal music, you know? And they come out with their shirts off and, you know, in the 80s they were looking okay. But now you're like, whoa, put your shirt back on. This is terrible. This is bad. And we just get caught. And I'm not saying the answer is to change with our music or to change with technology. That's all peripheral stuff. It just shows that we just have a tendency just to kind of remain in that comfort zone and not move out of it. What God has challenged us to do is to understand we are a new creation, and not just new on the day that we decided to follow Christ, but what this literally means is becoming new every day, to change, to renew every day. So that Christ in our life, our relationship is vibrant and it's new every day. I want you to know I've been following Christ since I was about 8 years old. I learn stuff new all the time. I don't want to ever get in my relationship with God and say, well, I think I've learned just about everything there is to know. Because I've just decided I'm not going to change. And I don't want to just learn things up here because this is where we usually take a turn for the worse. We learn it all up in our head, but our feet don't follow. We know a lot of stuff about God, but we kind of say, yeah, but he'll kind of forgive me if I don't quite follow everything. And you know what that is? It's just a refusal to change. It's to say, you know something? I don't want to be the new creation anymore. I want to go back to the old way. I don't want to stay on the new creation side of things. I want it the way it was. When I was a kid, I will never forget one night in my room, I heard this thumping noise. I mean, I was maybe 6 or 7. Heard this thumping noise. And I was like, okay, you know, as a little kid, this freaks you out. And, you know, you run to mom and dad's room. I was like, somebody's trying to get in my window. Somebody's trying to get in my window. So my dad comes running in there, and he's looking around. No one's trying to get in the window or anything else. Can't figure out what it is. Can't figure out what it is. And then he started laughing. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. He started laughing. What had happened was about a month previous to that, I'd caught this huge green caterpillar. I'll never forget catching this caterpillar. I don't know why that sticks out from a childhood memory, but it just sticks out. I can take you to the exact place at my Uncle Bob and Aunt Pam's farm where I got this thing around Springfield, Missouri, and put that thing in a jar. My dad drilled holes in the top, and we put twigs and leaves and made sure that it had, you know, leaves in there so they could eat and stuff like that. Well, what had happened was it had spun a cocoon, okay? I'd seen that transpire, but I didn't have any idea as to what was going to happen next. I mean, my parents would tell me, one of these days, your caterpillar will be a butterfly. Now, for a 7-year-old, that makes no sense. There's nothing else in life that you can watch that kind of progression, you know? Baby fish just grow up to be what? Bigger fish, you know? Small insects grow to be bigger. There is nothing that I could have seen and experienced and watched. And what was happening was that caterpillar was trying to come out as a butterfly. And it was ready to come out. And what was happening was it was banging up against the jar. And it alarmed me. My dad said, just give it a couple more days. Don't touch it. Don't help it. Because if you help it, you'll hurt it. Let it struggle. So a couple days later, man, out came this huge, gorgeous butterfly. I was just in shock. Couldn't believe it, man. My green, basically oversized worm, you know, caterpillar, was now this beautiful butterfly. And you know, I didn't sit there and go, I want my green caterpillar back. And you know why I didn't want the green caterpillar back? Because of how incredible the new creation was. That's metamorphosis. you know? That's what Paul is talking about here in Corinthians to us. It is a metamorphosis. It is a transformation. You don't just go from being sick without God to being well. It's from death to life. It's even more radical than the caterpillar to a butterfly. But God has placed things like that in our lives, just like the caterpillar, to remind us, an earthly physical reminder of a spiritual reality. Here's what I want you to take away from today. This is your GPS, okay? Your good practical stuff for the morning. You cannot go with God and remain the way that you are. You cannot go with God and remain the way that you are. Even if you've been a lifelong Christian of 60 years, you cannot go with God and remain the way that you are. God's always going to be teaching. You're always going to be learning. You should never come to the day that you think, I think I've got it down. I think I know what everything about that there is to know. I think I've got it. I want you to look back at verses 15 and 17 if you still have your Bibles open. If you don't, that's okay. Just listen along. Listen to this. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verse 17, what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. I'll get asked a lot about, well, don't you think there's a lot of ways to God? And what about all these world religions? And what does all that mean? Here's what I will tell you is the difference, okay? Now, I could go down through and take every world religion and point out all the differences and details, but let me tell you what the difference is between someone who's following after Christ and any world religion. And I'm not picking on the world religions. I'm just going to tell you reality. And if you go and study any of the world religions, you're going to know this is exactly the truth. All the other world religions teach you do to become accepted. You do to get good enough to get near God. Okay? It is the complete opposite in Christianity. Absolutely the complete opposite. Christ has already accepted you and loved you, but it is up to us to receive that. And then you do because of your love for him. You don't do to gain acceptance. You don't do to gain yourself towards God. You could never do that. But what the difference is, all the world religions teach you do things so that you can get God off your back. You do things so that if something weird happens, that you're already covered. And what Christ has said to us is this: I love you no matter what, but you must accept to follow me in order to gain that relationship. He's going to leave it up to you. He's not going to barge your door down. He's not going to harass you. He's not going to come after you. Because guess what? If that was what love was supposed to be, it's really not love, is it? If love can demand and love can make you do something, it's not love. And what God is showing us in this passage is simply this. You're accepted the way that you are, but you don't need to stay there. You've become a new creation. Things should be a metamorphosis. You should begin to change. You may say, well, how do I change? Well, this is what I would ask you. What systems do you have in place to making sure that you're in the constant state of change? Because if you don't have a system in place, you're going to struggle. You may say, well, what do you mean by a system? What I mean is this. What do you have set up in your life so that you will make sure that you stay on that relationship with God, that you won't turn it into doing just to get him off your back? Okay, because that does not work. But your doing is showing him how much you love him. There is a radical difference. For instance, one of the things that you may have incorporated in your life or need to get incorporated in life is reading your Bible on a daily basis. Don't kick yourself if you miss a day. Don't think, oh my goodness, God's going to kill me and he hates me. And just get back on to doing the right thing. Okay, God's not some cosmic killjoy just waiting for you to mess up, all right? He's not waiting on that. He already knows you're going to anyway. It's not a shock. He's not like, I can't believe this. I can't, pacing up and down, you know, and look at the angels going, look at that miserable person. I cannot even believe I'm putting up with him. Just get back on track. Read your Bible, okay? One of the things that you may need to put in place in your life are other Christians around you. I encourage you, if you're not a part of a growth group, one of our small groups, get involved. You can join at any time, okay? And you can just jump in there with us. We have a great time. I know in our group, we do a whole lot more laughing probably than anything, laughing at one another's stories and stuff like that, and it gets to be quite humorous as to silly things that we've done or said or, you know, that we've watched during the week, and then we start to figure out, okay, what is God telling us as a group? What is God telling me as a person? What is God telling us as a church? It's a great way to keep on track. And if I don't have those systems in my life, I'm going to get out of balance. And I'm going to find out 6 months later, wow, I can't remember the last time I've opened up my Bible. Wow, I can't remember the last time I've had a meaningful conversation with someone. Not just, hey, how are you doing? How's your week? Okay, and how about those Browns and whatever else team that you like? But I'm talking about a meaningful conversation. And if we're not real careful, we don't have those systems in place, we're going to get off. And we're going to wonder, well, I don't understand what this Christian's life is about. And I know for some people it's like, well, you know, I go to church. Okay, that's a good system. I would never say that that's a bad system. But that's just one. That's just one. You need to have in place in your life some systems to make sure. And if you're one of these people like me, that if you don't do well without having some accountability, some people asking you some tough questions, like, hey, you know, when's the last time you've read your Bible? And stuff like, get a friend. Tell them, hey, email me, call me, whatever else, whether it's every day or once a week, whatever else. Hey, when's the last time that you read your Bible? How's your relationship doing with Christ? Because some people need that. I'm one of those people. I have to have that. I have to have things in front of me to push me. And if you're different than that, more power to you. But I think most of us are probably in that category. I just want to encourage you this morning to understand you cannot go with God and remain the way that you are. You can't approach His Word and pick and choose what you want to do and what you don't want to do, because Christ has called us to be a new creation. So you may say, well, this is kind of my first time being around God and, you know, and things like that, and I'm not really sure where to start. I'm not even sure what the starting point is. I'd like to follow after Christ. What do I do? I can help you with that. The bottom line is this. It's not the words that you say. It's the attitude of your heart. You know this. You learned it in grade school. Whenever you had to apologize to somebody and the teacher made you, did you really mean it? No, because they made you do it. But starting a life with Christ simply means coming before Him in your heart and saying, you know, God, I believe that You're out there, and I really believe that Christ is who He said He was. And God, I'm sorry for the mess ups in my life, and I want You to make me a new creation and forgive me of my sin. I want to follow after You. You may say, is that it? Yeah, because it's not about the words that you speak. Because if you just spoke those words and walked out and lived the way that you wanted to for the rest of your life, you didn't mean it. Because here's what this passage tells us in verse 17, talks about it. And verse 15 talks about it. At the end of verse 15, it says, instead, they, talking about those who choose to follow after Christ, will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make blunders. But that's why you need that loving Christian family, a church family around you to support you when the dark days come, and they will, and maybe you're in the middle of them right now. And then when the great times come, so that you can share them with other people that are going to rejoice and be happy for you when those good days come. A new creation. And you know, as we look at this series with identity theft, a lot of us have allowed our identity to be stolen. And Christ is saying to you, I've got a new identity for you. I've got a new identity, a person who follows after Christ. And I'm not talking about the people that you've lived around that maybe you've had been left with a bad taste in your mouth. They call themselves Christians, but you know they didn't act like Christ. Well, guess what? They probably weren't a Christian, okay? if someone's going to be claim to be a follower of somebody, they're going to look like, act like, all of those things like that person, right? If you say, man, I'm all into this style of music, well, guess what? You're probably going to listen to it. You're probably going to sing it in your car. Maybe not well, but you're going to sing along, okay? You're going to sing it in the shower. You're going to go to those concerts. You're going to dress up like them or at least buy their posters or whatever it might be. You're going to buy their CDs. You know what? You are a follower of that. Doesn't make you bad. I'm just telling you, that's what that means. When you start to follow after Christ, he's going to start helping you shave some things off your life. It's not going to be because of your great effort. It's going to take some effort, but it's not going to be because of you. It's going to be because of Christ working in you. Christ will begin to help shave it off. And he'll say, hey, this is when you kind of fall short. And you won't be like the people that take the personality profile test and then they look at you and say, well, you know me, I'm just confrontational. I'm just like, no, you're ugly, man. You're rude. You know, where is that in the personality profile, you know? Rude, R, that is you, you know? Come on, what is your deal? But Christ will begin to change you. Christ will come into your life and he'll start showing you things that you hadn't seen before. And other people will be around you, praying for you, helping you out, helping you down that journey. And I just really want to encourage you this morning. I don't know your backgrounds. I don't know where you came from. You could totally be faking the fact that you're following after Christ, and you know deep down you don't. You've never really made that commitment to Christ, and you just kind of attended church somewhere. And you think that, well, you know, I was baptized one time. Well, I got news for you, folks. Getting wet is just getting wet. It's just like walking in a Pizza Hut. It doesn't make you a pizza. You know, I mean, you know, that's just silly. You know, people tell me, well, I go to church all the time. That's not the question. I want you to know when Christ ends this world, and however that's going to end, and there's 1,000 theories, okay, I just know that it's all going to work out the way Christ plans it, and so I'm fine with that, all right? And when he takes us in front of him, one by one, not in mass, but one by one, God's going to look at us and ask you two questions. Number one, what did you do with my son? And number two, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with my son? What did you do with what I gave you? And you know something? All of that is part of being a new creation. And I just really want to encourage you this morning that maybe you've never committed to following after Christ. And as the scripture said, today is the day of salvation. You can start that today. You don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to know everything about everything, because most people that met Christ that really wanted to follow after him didn't know a whole lot. But man, did they learn quickly, and did they follow after him with their whole heart. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. Maybe this morning your heart was stirred and you realized, you know, maybe I've gone to church some, maybe I've never been, and I gave this church a chance just to see what was going on. Maybe you've been in church your whole life and you've just kind of gone to church, but you've never really made a commitment to Christ. You've never really said in your heart, Christ, I want to follow after you. And maybe you are the fulfillment of that verse. Today is the day of your salvation. And this isn't a prayer that you've got to pray 20,000 times for God to finally say, okay. It's a prayer that you mean from your heart, that when you mean it, that Christ adopts you into his family. And then you begin to follow him. And that fellowship is the proof that Christ is Lord of your life. Again, you don't do just to make him happy. You do because you love him. Just like you would in any relationship that you really cared about somebody. And so this morning, why don't you just in your heart of hearts, if you've never said to God that you want his forgiveness, you want his son, Jesus, to follow after, in your heart of hearts right now, you can just simply pray that prayer. Just simply say, dear Lord Jesus, I know I've done some things wrong. I'm not a perfect person. And I don't maybe understand everything about Christianity, and I probably never will, but I know this is the right way, and I believe you are who you said you are. So come into my life and save me and forgive me of where I've messed up my sin. And if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not here to embarrass you or call you out. But I'm just going to ask you to, on that communication card there in front of you, put your name and at least a phone number, email address where I can get in touch with you. And just put somewhere on there, I prayed that prayer. That's all you got to do. And I'll get in touch with you and we'll talk and make sure that you understand everything. If you've got any questions, because I just want to rejoice with you. I want to help you and not just pray a prayer and wonder, well, what do I do next? And I'll get together with you and we can just talk and find out what God's doing in your life. Maybe you've been a Christian and you know that you've asked Christ into your life and you've been trying to follow, but boy, you've been heading back to the old life every chance that you get. You just hadn't stayed a new creation. You just have gone back. There's great news in the gospel and the fact that Christ came to redeem us. Christ came to give us our value back. That's what it means to redeem. And this morning, maybe you need to choose your identity again in Christ and not allow it to be stolen. But that you would just simply say in your heart of hearts, Christ, you know that I've wandered away. You know I've been gone. Haven't necessarily just done everything bad, but I just haven't made really good decisions. I've just kind of ignored you. I haven't hated you, just ignored you. So God, that you would just forgive me of that and that we could get back to our relationship. That you could just help renew me. Father, we thank you for this morning. That we can realize we don't have to live the old way, that you've got a new way for us. We don't have to be the same old. We don't have to stand around and say, well, this is just the way that I am, and that's as good as it will ever get. But that we will realize that we can be renewed every single day in you and become that new creation. So we just thank you for this time together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.